Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. If you'd like to look with us, I'd like to turn over to John, the 8th chapter. And I'd like for each one of us to think about the way that we react whenever we see a need. I see a needy person. How do we react when we find someone that is maybe very belligerent and uncouth and hard to get along with? What is our reaction? We can see what Jesus does here in John the 8th chapter. Maybe we should just bow our heads and pray before we go ahead. Father, we thank thee for thy tender mercy to each one of us today. We're so thankful, Lord, that thou dost have compassion upon us when we were down and out and without God, without mercy from those around us. Lord, we're thankful for the mercy of God. We pray that thou will help us this morning, that we might sense thy direction and thy help, that thou wilt open the word to our hearts, Lord, and help us that we might receive those things that will give encouragement and strength, and help us to reach out and to be the right kind of a person when we meet those that are in trouble spiritually. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where art those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I think if you notice where Jesus was when this took place, it says he had gone to the Mount of Olives, and it was early in the morning. And he went then again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. That was one thing about Jesus. He had time for people. He had time to talk to them. He had time to listen to their needs. He didn't have a lot of time to listen to those who were hypocrites and those who were accusing and they weren't right with the Lord themselves. But as he sat there talking to the people, teaching them, and sometimes we think, well, did Jesus stand up before the multitudes and give a fiery message to them. And there are times that I wonder how that he could preach loud enough to reach clear out. If he has 5,000, 10,000 people gathered around him, how did he make everybody hear? He would have had to have really put something into it. And yet here he was at the temple and he was sitting down and he was teaching the people. And I believe they were hungry. I believe they were hungry. I believe they were thirsty. And the scripture tells us that if we're thirsty, in Revelation, the very last chapter in verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So this morning, if you're thirsty spiritually, you're going to be filled. If you're thirsty for what God has for you, and you're honest and seeking God, you're going to find the river of life. You're going to find that well of water springing up within you, the Spirit of God speaking to you and dealing with you. If you're thirsty, you're going to find. If you're hungry spiritually and you're seeking and you dig into the Word of God and you really seek to know God's will, God's going to feed you. You're going to be fed. You're going to be well fed. He never lets anyone down that is really hungry, really thirsty. They will find, this honest seeker will find. Even over in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, it speaks about that great call that goes out. And I'm glad that we can be a part of the ones that send the call out. Like the old song says, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. That's why we're here today, is to send the light wherever we are. That's our mission field. And the old prophet said in Isaiah, he said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money." You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be popular. You don't have to please everybody. But all you need to be is to be thirsty for God's divine guidance and help and his presence. And it says here, "No money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." It's worth so much that you couldn't buy it with all the money in the world. The rich man can't buy it. They can't buy their way into heaven. They've got to come by the humble way of the cross, the same way as the beggar or the one who was a drunkard or far out in the sin. All they have to do is come to the foot of the cross and give themselves to God and to his divine help and power, and God can do what they cannot do. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." There are a lot of people spending a lot of time trying to gratify the flesh with the trinkets the world offers. We've got lots of trinkets out there anymore. We've got all kinds of things that you can look at on the internet. Many people gratifying themselves with trying to make themselves appear beautiful or handsome in front of man. And yet the character, the beautiful character and virtuous heart is what we need to be nurturing, that what God has done for us down here on the inside, that first love, we need to cultivate it, we need to nurture it, we need to, by the help of God, give of our very best to the Master. And not spend our time on frivolous things that the world has. He says, "Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your delight itself in fatness." Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Do we listen to the still small voice of the Lord? Can we, like the little lad Samuel, and he didn't know who it was when God called him there, and he answered, but he thought it was Eli, and he went to Eli. Eli said for him to answer the Lord, and the Lord would tell him what he had to say to him. But God would actually speak to a little lad that he was preparing to be one of his great prophets, a great man of God. Great men are little in their own eyes and big in the eyes of God, because he can use them. They're pliable. They're like clay that can be used of the Lord. And as we incline our ears to God, he will speak to us, and we can hear, and our soul shall live. And he said, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, looking back at our scripture there in John, right in the middle of the time when Jesus was talking to these hungry people, these thirsty people, these people who were there, they didn't have to come. I a lot of times think about that over at OCC. You know, the ones that are there, they're there for a reason. A lot of times they have come to the end of themselves, and they got caught by the law. A lot of us just never got caught, or we'd probably been in the very same place. Some of the things we did, we lied, we stole, we did this and did that. But they got caught, and they've come to the end of themselves. And it's their own decision if they want to come. And most of them probably are there because they are hungry. There is a reason that they were drawn to come to our services there in OCC. And these people were there too, I believe, because they wanted to hear the words of the Master. His words were different than the scribes and the Pharisees. His words were gracious words. He spoke with authority and the power of God, and God drove the message home to their hearts. And they were finding what they needed. They were finding something that give them hope. You know, there's not a lot of hope in the world we're living in anymore. There's a lot of dead hypocrisy and a lot of churchitis and all that kind of thing. But if you and I can spread those rays of hope to precious souls that are needy and that are hungry, so that they can receive it with gladness into their heart, then we've done what God wants us to do, spread the gospel. Well, here was a disturbance took place all of a sudden. There they were. The Master was teaching them. And now here comes some scribes and some Pharisees into the midst. And here they come, pulling this woman in with them and bringing her up to the Master. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Now, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. We caught her in sin. We caught her in one of the most horrible things, kinds of sin that there is. And over in Revelation, it speaks about the ones that are going to be put in the lake of fire, and adulterers is one of them, along with all liars. Didn't say white liars or big liars or small liars, but all liars, adulterers. And here they said, there she is. And these were supposed to be religious leaders, ones that are helping lead in the church of God. And they had no mercy on this woman. They didn't care about her in the least bit. They caught her in her sin, and now they're saying, you know, the law says we're supposed to stone her. What do you say, Master? And their only desire was that they would catch the Master and catch him in something where they could blame him for being against the law. Adultery. And yet how many in our own day, maybe we would have nothing to do with physical adultery. A man leaving his wife and going after some other woman, a woman doing the same thing. No, we would never do that. But how many have committed adultery with the world, the flesh and the devil? They've left the Father. They've left their Heavenly Father. And they've gone after what the world can offer. They've gone after. And God is a jealous God. He'll have none of it. He will either have all of us or he'll have none of us. We can't play with the flesh. We can't play with the world. We can't play with those things that the devil would offer us. He wants every bit of us. Now they said, Moses said in his law that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? And the only thing they were doing is trying to tempt Jesus. Trying to tempt Jesus. That they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, and as if he heard them not. That's one thing I often noticed, that Jesus wasn't controlled by the mobs and by the great people sitting on their thrones. And when he was at his trial and they said things to him, Jesus stood there silently and he said, well, don't you realize that I'm the one that can prosecute you. I'm the one that can crucify you. I'm the one. Aren't you scared of me? Jesus wasn't afraid. He was in the Father's hands. He stood there. He was in complete control. And they couldn't have touched him if he didn't want them to. When they tried to get him in the garden and he spoke, they just fell back on the ground like dead people. And he could have slain every one of them there. They could have none of them put him on the cross if he had not allowed it. But he gave himself freely. He gave himself. And now they were tempting him and he wrote there in the dirt. A lot of us wonder, what did he write? What did he write? Did he read the hearts of those who were standing there from the youngest to the eldest and write the one man's sin? And the man looked around to see if anybody realized that he hit me. And maybe he wrote another man's sin and he too looked around. And then it said here, and when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And they were so convicted as he stooped down again and began to write more things on the ground. Whatever he wrote was pointed. He wasn't just doing it as an idle thing. He wasn't just doing it as a curiosity piece. Everything he did had a reason in it. And there again, that's the way it is with the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Every single step, the Lord knows the way that we take. You know, the things that have happened, the surgery and the things that have taken place this last few days. Lots and lots of things in our lives we don't understand, do we? The old song says we'll understand it better by and by. One of these days, well, our thinking will be perfected and we'll understand how the great picture, the great plan of the Lord, he just laid it all out and it fit in perfect place. And when it was complete, then he says, okay, it's enough. Come on up. And we can go to be with him. They were convicted of their own conscience and went out one by one, beginning at the eldest and even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And I believe there were some things taking place in that woman's heart. She'd been caught in the very act. She was brought to the right source. They didn't know that that's what you should do. If somebody has a need, bring them to Jesus. And we know that's what you're supposed to do. We can't save somebody, but we can bring them to Jesus. And he can save them. But they brought her to the right source, even though they didn't aim to do that. And he said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He must have seen a heart that was repentant, a heart that was confessing their wrong, and openly there they were, a heart that was ready to give up themselves and ready to be yielded to the Lord entirely. And he gave those gracious words, the most wonderful words that could ever be written, and that hopefully every one of us come to the place where we are so sick of sin, so sick of our life in the past, that we come to the feet of Jesus. And there we are, helpless and can do nothing, but just to hear his gracious words, neither do I condemn thee. And then the admonition, go and sin no more. And whatever he tells us to do, he has the grace to supply the way that we can live a holy life for him. He doesn't say, don't go and steal no more cars now, without giving us the grace. A thief, a car thief, all of a sudden he's changed and he's not going back out there. He's sick of the life of sin. Don't go commit adultery. Don't lie. Not even little shady lies. Not even little white lies that we call them. They're all big black ones and will send a soul to hell. But he gives us the grace to stand the test, to stem the tide. And when we realize that we made mistakes, to back up and say, Lord, help me, and to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another, that we might be able to see the end of a good race. Then spake Jesus again unto them and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, and shall have the light of life. I wanted to just read this wonderful song that speaks about this very scripture. By the crowd of worshipers, sorry for their sins, was a poor wanderer rudely brought in. Scribes came and Pharisees, anxious to see what the meek Nazarene's verdict would be. They told of her wanderings, making each flaw, spoke of her punishment, quoting the law, writing upon the ground sadly and slow, but said he unheedingly, head bending low, neither do I condemn thee, precious words divine, from the lips of mercy, like the sweetest chime, wonderful words of Jesus, sing them over and over. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Before I read these other verses, I'd like first just sing the chorus of that together. Most of us know that, don't we? Know the song? Neither do I condemn thee, precious words divine, from the lips of mercy, like the sweetest chime. Wonderful words of Jesus, sing them o'er and o'er. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Still cried the Pharisees, pray, Master, pray, what shall we do with her? What doth thou say? Then said he rebukingly, let the first stone come from the sinless hands. Hence and alone, cheeks flushing with the shame, turning about and from his presence, walking slowly out. Then saw we standing there, head bending low, he who the world despised, bade her sin no more. Spake he most tenderly, pray, woman, pray, hast thou no accusers? Nay, master, nay. Neither do I condemn thee. Soul sick and sore, go forth. I pardon thee. Go and sin no more. Let's sing that chorus again. Neither do I condemn thee, precious words divine,
From the lips of mercy, like the sweetest child, wonderful words of Jesus, sing them o'er and o'er. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more.